Welcome to Geeking Out, our monthly podcast, where we are going to explore better living through the joy of hobbies. We are going to talk about books. We're going to talk about movies, music, video games, cooking soup. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff that is getting us really, really, really excited. And hopefully we're going to get you really excited, or we're going to talk about things that you're excited about. But that's what we're here for. I'm Mandy.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Cyrus.
All right, you guys, are you ready? Let's geek out.
Woo!
Welcome, everyone, to Geeking Out. So pleased that you are with us today. I got to say, being with you two folks again and being able to talk about all the things that everyone else in our life are sick and tired of us talking about, this is so wonderful. So,
our children thank you for listening to us, because it means we don't talk to them.
Thank you so much. As my lovely wife has already mentioned, this is Geeking Out, where we like to talk about those things that are really getting us excited. Especially in where we all got jobs, and we all got emails, and we all got bills to pay. Let's pause, reflect a minute, and really enjoy those things that bring us true happiness and joy. We'll be sharing some of the things that we really like about, and every single month we bring something new to you. So we'll be going first about this month's Geeking Out, where we go around the room talking about those things that are really interesting to us in general. And then we have our geek topic. We'll be discussing cabin fever. Still in winter, folks. Still in winter. And if you're anything like me, you've most likely have explored every nook and cranny of your house and are ready to get outside. But what can you do? Good news, you live in Minnesota. There's a lot for you to do, so we'll explore some ideas there. And we have our mailbag. We have a dad here who needs some help. Good news, we have opinions. Not help. We have opinions. And of course, but before we even jump into that, look outside the window. What do you see?
Oh my gosh, it's Tom, and he's got a giant refrigerator truck?
That's right, it's a refrigerator. Tom, wow. Winsleydale, man about town. And if you are not a local from here in Northfield, Minnesota, such a beautiful town, Tom Winsleydale is an eccentric gentleman. You absolutely recognize him from about 2 miles away, the way that man struts up and down the street. So kind, is yet again giving us an opportunity, and so sorry, Tom, to have him share one of his hobbies.
Yeah.
Such an interesting man.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
So you got to take a peek inside. Why don't you just don't
I'm not gonna,
it.
I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. Right. So Tom is an avid carver. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, he does the chainsaw art with the big logs and stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the winter, he moves to ice. And so not only does he have an ice sculpture in there, it's a usable ice sculpture fishing house.
Shut up.
Yes. So it's this beautiful art sculpture, but you can go in it and ice fish in it at the same time.
Ice crazy. Fishing in an ice house.
I know.
It's Isn't so that meta.
It's so
it
meta.
Is. So
it is so it meta is. And so amazing and so beautiful. And I'm just thrilled that we get to explore this.
But here's the thing. We have to make sure we make time for this because he is parked illegally.
Poor Tom. We keep getting him on the show and never being able to talk to him.
He's taking up about 4 spaces.
That's all right. It's fine.
All right. So we got quite a show. Let's jump right into it. We only have so much time with you, and we want to make sure we use it well. We will first talk about what we are geeking out about. Mandy, what are you geeking out about?
So I feel like this is a safe space.
It is.
I feel like I know you two very well, and I know everyone out there very well, sort of. I'm going to admit something to you guys.
Do it.
And it's taken me a long time to get to the point where I feel comfortable admitting this.
Do you want to hold my hand on this?
I do. I'm going to hold your hand.
Okay. I'm very sweet.
So here it is.
Go ahead.
I have a problem with buying too many greeting cards.
It's true.
I know. It's ridiculous. True. So I love greeting cards. I buy so many of them. I have enough greeting cards for every single occasion and many occasions you had never even thought to buy a greeting card for. And I used to buy mine at Cub and that sort of thing. But I've kind of decided and discovered that our shops in downtown Northfield have amazing greeting card selections.
Incredible selection.
And they're not the stuff you're going to find at Target or Cub or kind of the run-of-the-mill places. So my favorite places in town to get greeting cards, Petalina is amazing. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of really good ones. Not as funny generally, but wide variety of selections. They're usually, they have very beautiful cards there.
Well, the kind that you want to put in a frame.
Yeah, almost. So it's like beautiful. Something that would be really nice to get for somebody that appreciates like the really beautiful, well-made cards. Sketchy Artist has some really good ones too. And they're both, they have some beautiful ones and some funny ones. But far and away, my favorite place in town to get greeting cards is Content.
Okay,
good stuff.
So our local bookstore here, have such a wide variety and they have been very well curated. Yes, Rich.
I have a quick question. Would you be saying this if Content wasn't the sponsor?
No, I mean, yes, absolutely. I would be saying this. I've been buying greeting cards from Content far before we did this.
That's awesome.
But they have curated an amazing selection of greeting cards, and it's everything from your typical like, oh, happy birthday, that sort of thing, to a bunch of weird, like esoteric, just bizarro greeting cards. And I have brought show and tell because it's radio, so of course we should have something to show and
folks,
tell.
She's got what would look like a smallish hat box.
Smallish hat box.
Yes.
And if I open it up, it is full of greeting cards. What? I have greeting cards
for all those.
Yeah, it's like I probably have 50 plus greeting cards in here because I go to the bookstore to look at books and I come out with $50 worth of cards. Like literally every time I go to the store. So it's ridiculous. But I have everything from like kind of run-of-the-mill birthday cards for, you know, that sort of thing. But I also have some really funny ones in here. They have a series of like birds that are saying funny things. So here's one with a bird on the front of it, and that says the text that's on here says, "The risk I took was calculated, but man, am I bad at math." And then it's blank inside, and so you could.
I've got a magnet. Yeah, a couple of magnets like that. They're great.
They're great. Yeah. So just I love greeting cards, and Content is far and away my favorite place to get greeting cards here in Northfield. So that is what I am geeking out about this month is greeting cards and Content's greeting cards. Cards and Petalina's greeting cards and Sketchy Artist's greeting cards and just the fading art of sending a card in the mail. Mm. I personally get a bunch of not great mail. It's junk or bills, mostly junk because my bills are all electronic nowadays.
Right.
And so when I get a card in the mail that's from a friend or a birthday card or whatever, it just totally makes my day. So I love being able to do that for my friends.
I just saw a cartoon that was 10 years ago. Some guy's holding a big pile of mail. And he's like, oh, yeah. And next to a guy at a computer going, I just got an email, right? And that was 10 years ago.
Yep.
Today it's, oh my God, I've got 2,000 emails in my inbox. Yeah. And like the guy's holding up a letter.
Right, exactly.
I took the day off today. Speaking of email, I took the day off and I put in the system like, you know, I'm gone. This is the message you're going to send. I don't know what happens. As soon as you put in your email that I am not around, everyone says, oh, free game.
Yeah, there we go.
Right.
Here we go. Here's all the email on us. I love to see these cards. It's so much fun. You and I are at, it's ridiculous. We go to bookstores all around the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And the very first thing we do is we flock to the card collection.
Well, me, anyway. That's
and
where I get
stuck.
We just
start chuckling. I mean, we're that couple in the... Yeah. And they're just like, what's going on with that? What's happening here?
Exactly. You
know, that is a fantastic hobby. And was such a fun one to collect. You never know when you're going
to
need something.
Yeah, it's always good to have a card. I have a card for anything. Anything could happen, and I would have a card for it. Yeah, I'm ready.
Fantastic.
Set.
Right.
So.
Not only that, but you just it's a card for nothing.
Yeah.
At the same time, okay, here's a card.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Exactly.
Great hobby. Rich, what are your hobbies? What's going
on? I also have a visual aid, but this is really more for you guys than anything. As you both know, I'm a great baseball enthusiast.
Yes,
I have
indeed.
Heard.
And this is a game that is free to play every day. There's a new one. This is called Immaculate Grid. This little grid gets me through the off season. This is what stimulates my need for baseball every day.
You got to show me how this is associated with baseball.
So what we have is a grid of nine squares, right? On the outside, we have going down. We have the New York Yankees, the New York Mets, and the Houston Astros. On this side,
that's Seattle. That S is Seattle.
That is the Seattle Seahawks,
and that's the Pittsburgh something.
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
There you go.
Very well.
I'm proud of you, baby.
I know this. I suck at sports stuff. So, right.
And here we have 2,000 strikeouts in a career.
Ooh,
okay,
yeah.
that would be
that's
for a pitcher,
lot.
not a guy who actually swings and strikes out, but the pitcher who gets the strikeout. Okay, what you need to do is match each square to, so like in the center square, it would be who played for the New York Mets and the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, cool.
And I go over here and I say, well, I know who did that.
Who was it?
It was, well, a bunch of people, but the one that comes right to my mind is a guy named Bobby Bonilla. And so I push, I type in the name Bobby Bonilla. It gives me that, I push select, and there it is.
There's a guy. There's a picture of him.
Yeah, good looking man.
Yes. I hold myself to some pretty high standards with this game, and I know my ball, right? So it tells you the percent, like 24% of the people who have played this game have also said Bobby Bonilla. That number is way too high for my taste.
Oh,
like I there's a rarity score that comes along with this, right? So when you anything below 100 for a rarity score to me is acceptable.
Okay.
Anything over 100 is just, I can't even live with myself. Right. But more often than not, I don't win the grid much more often than not. I'm looking at this right now, like 2000 career strikeouts, Houston Astros. I'm going to guess at one. I'm going to go with a guy named J.R. Richard. I don't know if he actually had 2,000 career strikeouts or not. He did not.
So I
have lost already.
Oh,
because you have 9 squares, you get 9 guesses. You get one wrong, you're done.
You're out. Yeah. Wow, that's tough.
I love this game. It's an obsession. I've played it. A mutual friend of ours, a former neighbor of yours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, showed me this game, and I have been, it's every day. Every day I've done this for 2 years.
Oh my gosh, that's so
immaculate grid. And they do it for basketball. They do it men's and women's college basketball. They do it for the NBA. They've got football, NFL, NHL, soccer. There's some college.
Whatever sport is, it's there.
So it's trivia. The idea here is trivia?
Well, it's basically you got to know your sport.
Right, you got to know all the stats for these folks. And does it have a leaderboard so you can see how you're climbing up the...
No, you're sort of...
You're in competition with yourself.
Oh. Exactly. Or if you've got a friend that likes to do it too, you can share. But
yeah, nice. Yeah.
Anyway.
That is so cool,
I like
that.
That's what I geek out about today.
Awesome.
I love the minimal approach that they did. It's like, look, this is all it is, just... fill out the grid, and you immediately get that response back. Am I or am I not spending my time in the right way?
Am I special or am I a complete loser? Well, today I'm a complete loser.
You got one
more than I would have, Rich, so you're good.
Yeah, I had to think when you said baseball. Like, which sport is
that? That has a ball and a bat, sweetie.
I'm going to fill in this one too, just to make myself feel better.
That's a ball and something else.
What are you doing here? Are you cheating now?
No, he just is
going to
fill it
in. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, see, I knew that one too. All right.
What are you geeking out about, babe?
Also along the sports side, except not as far as baseball goes. I think racing is a sport, isn't it? Racing is a sport?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so.
It's competition.
So,
according to Talladega Nights, it is.
There it is. That's a great movie. Totally underrated.
Love that movie.
All right. So I am not a follower of NASCAR or anything. I really understand what's happening in there, and I get that people are really super excited about it. But my hobby, my love, has to do with everything on board games. Mm-hmm. And I have recently really gotten back into racing themed games. I love the idea that everyone's moving across the board and trying to move around. Actually, if you look at it, Cribbage, a game that you and I play a lot.
It's kind of a racing game.
It's kind of a racing game because you're keeping track of the pegs and you're seeing how you're trying to jump ahead, folks.
Yeah.
Same thing here with the racing games. The one that we're playing right now that I absolutely dearly love is Heat, Pedal to the Metal.
That was a fun one.
We just played it
the other day.
Right. That's a deck building game for those who are not familiar with it. Everyone starts out with the same number of cards, the same type of cards. And then as you play the game, you bring in new cards. You get to decide when you want to play them. So you're doing a lot of hand management. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is, thematically speaking, how you're navigating your vehicle around the track and how fast you're pressing on the gas and, you know, letting loose so you don't actually go off the track as you saw me do.
Yes.
Yeah, that
you
was
spun out.
Yeah, I spun that out pretty
badly.
It was
hard to come back from.
What I like about these games so much, though, is it's thematically, everyone gets it. Everyone's raced. That's not something that you have to try to describe to people. Visually, it's very appealing because mm-hmm. you know at any particular time where you're at. as far as your standing, how close am I to the end game, as well as how much do I need to push. And I really like games that communicate to you the risk reward mm-hmm. that you're putting in. Mm-hmm. Race games certainly like that, especially with this game Heat that I'm mentioning, is that everyone around the track, I'm sorry to bring it in, I'm the only one here who didn't have like a show.
Yeah, you don't, you gotta up your game there,
I'm
dude.
so sorry.
Visual aids.
So it's got different tracks from around the world, apparently, because again, I'm not into this in a real world perspective, very well-known tracks from around the world. And they, when they have curves, they have difficulty numbers. So you have to watch what you play as your cards because you don't want to go over a certain value. Otherwise, you now spin out. When you spin out, of course, all the bad things happen that you kind of have to start over. And it has a really interesting mechanic where you have different gear shifts.
Oh.
So depending on what gear you're in, that plays how many wow.
cards
you
can
play.
Yeah.
But you are forced to play that number of cards. So if I put myself in third gear, I have more cards I can play, which means I can go faster. But I have to play three. And I cannot go over a certain number because then I'm going too fast for the curve.
If you go around a corner, you're only allowed to play two.
Right.
Oh, but, or you spin out.
Or you spin out.
Or you spin out. And it's, I always like board games where I can become interested in a topic that I would not be interested in real world. You know, it's fun. So there you go. So we have greeting cards.
Yep.
Well, not greeting cards, just cards in general.
I want to add something to your, if I may, to your racing games in general. Another one of my favorite racing games that is for littles is Monza.
Oh, Monza. There's a good
one. Monza is a, it's another racing game. It's geared towards like preschool, kindergarten age.
Yeah.
It has to do with colors. And so you roll some dice and you get different colors on the dice. And then you have to move your car to the different colors on the racetrack. Mm-hmm. Really like simple mechanics game, but it's really good for colors and matching and being able to, because you have to, the color has to touch the square that you're moving to. So it's a pattern recognition. So really, really good for kids. It is a game that I actually enjoyed playing with our children versus like Candyland or some of the other ones that I'm like, I really don't want to play this with you. I actually liked Monza and wanted to play it with them.
Well, what makes Monza interesting from just an adult perspective is that if it was just a matter of matching colors, that's not a big deal.
Right.
But the colors and the tracks have different lengths.
Mm.
So if you rolled... You roll four or five dice?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. So if you roll, it's been a while. So when you roll the dice and you have two blues, a red, and a green, you get to decide as a player when you spend that dice to move your car forward, but it has to be in that space color. Some of those spaces are a little bit longer. So you might want to play the blue now instead of the blue later because coming up, there's a longer track and you have to go past people. So you have to move it around a lot. So it's very interesting for the perspective of, you know, seeing the visual spatial skills, understanding the sequential order of how you want to move things around. Yeah.
Color, or as we like to call it in my house, strategery.
Yes, exactly. So that's another great racing game that's for a younger crowd, which I love having. I love getting to play games with our kids, no matter what their ages are.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That's good. Okay, so all the cards in the world, every single topic you could possibly imagine. Opportunities online to go ahead and flex your brain and your trivia knowledge, but don't feel bad about it.
No, Rachel. Ever. Well, I mean, I do, but that's, I get over it.
Yeah,
fairly quickly. Takes me about a half hour.
That's good. It's funny that you timed it. Racing games. So all the fun kind of racing games out there. And there's car. There's bike games that you.
Yeah, there's all sorts of racing games.
Horse racing, which is actually a lot of fun too. Yeah. And we did a camel up.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that was fun. That was a camel racing game.
Fun. That was a lot of fun.
That was a really good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. All right, good. Yep. So those are just some of the things that we're geeking out about now. It all depends on when you kind of approach it.
Camel racing.
It's a really cool game. It's a fun mechanic. Some of the camels are going forward, and then there's some other camels that are going backwards on the track and getting in the way.
As you're being passed, can you make your camel spit at the other camel?
No, but you should be able... You could spit at your opponent.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not actually part of the rules. I think that we made that a house rule, though.
Yes.
It's a house rule.
There it is.
right. Well, let's get to our geek topic.
All right. Our geek topic of today is cabin fever. Again,
cabin fever relievers.
Cabin fever. Yeah, not just actually. Why would we talk about cabin fever?
Well, I'm not excited about cabin fever, but no. I'm excited about the things that relieve it.
Right. To relieve said cabin fever. Mm. Now, I'm sure that, like myself, I enjoy sitting down and playing games for hours and hours and hours, and you enjoy puzzles.
And reading.
And reading.
And playing games.
And playing that, but...
All sorts of stuff.
Cooking. The light's weird. It's cold. You don't feel like you get to be out and about or as social as you want. So it's nice to kind of figure out, how do I get out of the chair? How do I get out of my house?
Distinct lack of fresh air can
Distinct lack of fresh air.
Sunshine.
Really do numbers.
So we have some ideas that we're going to... shoot by you guys here that we think that you should explore. If it sounds like it's your jelly and jam, definitely go ahead and look into it. Otherwise,
And this is just stuff that we kind of brainstormed different outdoor winter activities that we both enjoy. This winter's been weird, so there's been some time where you could go out and do ice-related things, and then, like, we got 9.5 inches of snow.
Nine hours later, no ice-related things.
But it's going to be 60 degrees this weekend, so, this is... So you take it for what it is. Maybe these are some ideas for a different winter, but there's still really exciting stuff. So,
start us off. What's the first one?
Ice skating is our first one. Mm. So ice skating, there's lots of great opportunities to go ice skating. And we're going to talk a little more with all of these topics, kind of very local Northfield. And then I'm going to expand out a little bit even beyond our area here.
Minnesota and beyond.
So ice skating, there's several different places where you can ice skate in Northfield. The Northfield Ice Arena has open skate opportunities, and they do have skate rentals. Mm-hmm. So if you don't own skates, that's still a good place to go. There are also 6 outdoor rinks in Northfield in the wintertime.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Northfield's a great town. I mean, if everyone who's listening, regardless of where you are in the world, move here. Fantastic. Yeah. Taxes are a little weird.
But that's all right.
It's that's all fine. Good. But the... So for a town, like, it was 6.
And we also have an oval. So out in the rodeo grounds, out by the dog park, they make a ice oval every winter time for the last several years. Yep. Mm-hmm. And many of the outdoor rinks also have warming huts. Not all of them, but many of the outdoor rinks in Northfield have warming huts. So nice little warm spaces with benches so you can go in and put your skates on. Those outdoor areas don't have skate rentals, but they, if you own skates, they're a good place to go. So lots of great chances there. St. Olaf Ice Arena, which is a very nice ice arena.
Very nice.
Just in there. This is my alma mater. I was just in there for the first time about a month ago. It's fantastic.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Nice. So they also do open skate, and they also have skate rentals available. I think their open skates are on Sunday, but you can check out the website for details. If you are a St. Olaf student or a St. Olaf professor, you get a discount. Mm-hmm. But the community can use it too. So even if you don't have any connections to St. Olaf, you can still use it.
They're not snobby about their ice.
Exactly. Like, and then one of our favorite places to go that's not in Northfield for ice skating is the Maple Grove Central Park Ice Skating
Loop. Oh, I love that place.
So it's up in Maple Grove, so it's a bit of a drive. They have a nice warming hut. They have skate rentals. And then the skating area, rather than being just a rink or a loop, it is like a river.
Yeah.
And so it like kind of wends around and back and forth, and it has a little island in the middle of it at some point. And so it's really, but they also have like boards up along the side. Yeah. So if you're not a strong skater, you have something you can hang on to. The Zamboni comes out and refreshes the surface every so often. So it's a really cool, different place to go skating.
That's super cool.
And it's outdoors. Nice. So you can get outside, and they have lots of, in the wintertime around Christmas, they decorate all the trees and stuff that are around it. So they've all got lights on
them.
It's really cool. We've been there several times with the kids, and the kids just all love it. Yeah. So that's our ice skating topic.
Ice skating, Rich. Topic on ice skating. Anything else you want to add there?
So I'm gonna. So Rich is not much of an outdoor wintertime guy.
I'm not.
I'm learning from listening to the morning show.
I'm not. and growing up, I had very weak ankles. I've never been able to skate ever, ever. My sister was a figure skater. And so I've been to plenty of figure skating competitions and all that stuff. And was forced in my junior high years to watch ice castles about 3,000 times. So please don't ever bring that up with me. So, I like ice hockey. So for all those of you who like to go skate and knock yourselves out.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I would also like to say that I have weak ankles, and that's why I can't skate. But I think we all know that's not true. I'm just not good at it.
Oh, I'm terrible. I've got no athletic ability whatsoever. I have no coordination.
But you can still get out and do it, even if you're not good at it. It's still great to get out and get the exercise.
But let's say skating is not your
bag. All right, your jelly or jam.
What is the next one?
Snowshoeing is another option. Again, it hasn't been a terribly snowy winter, it's been a little trickier, but lots of great places in Northfield to snowshoe. So the Carlton Arb is open for snowshoeing. St. Olaf Natural Lands are open for snowshoeing. Bigwood State Park is great for snowshoeing. We're also going to talk about cross country skiing in just a little bit. A lot of these places will have either like areas that are specifically, this is the snowshoe area and this is the skiing area, which is how Bigwood separates it out. Or there's it's a shared space, but as always, if you guys don't know this, if it's a shared trail, don't ever step on the tracks for the skiers.
Don't
those
be
are
that
for
guy.
The skiers. Don't step on them. Right. You can step anywhere else, but don't step on the tracks. You can rent. So not everybody owns snowshoes. So there are opportunities for snowshoe rental. Bigwood State Park has snowshoe rental available. So that is an option. And then Farmstead Bike Shop in town rents snowshoes. So that's another great place to get the equipment that you need in order to be able to get out and enjoy snowshoeing. So did you have anything to add about snowshoeing?
I was not a fan of this hobby. Until I actually got a chance to try it. And I tried the first time when I was fairly late in my Boy Scout career, back when I was, good grief, 17, I think. Yes, about 17 years old. Incredible opportunity to really go off the trail.
Yeah.
And see a lot of nature in a way that it wasn't actually expecting you to see it.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of really great animal tracks, the quietness that you get when you truly get off the beaten trail. And it's a wonderful way to go ahead and still walk around in the trees when normally, if you were to do it without snowshoes, you'd be up to your thighs.
Yep.
And snow. So, yeah, it's fantastic. I love it.
It's a really good workout, too. You use different muscles when you snowshoe than you do when you walk. You will feel it when you're done. It expends a lot more energy, and your hips and thighs will be sore the next
your
day.
Your glutes are going to be so bounce a quarter off. Yeah,
exactly. So it's a great opportunity. We have lots of great places to do it in the area. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Along those same lines, another cabin fever reliever that we're excited about is winter hiking. So if you have a winter like we've had where there's not been a ton of snow, so you don't have as much opportunity for snowshoeing, you can still get out into a lot of these same areas and enjoy hiking in the wintertime. It's different than hiking in the summer. You're going to see different stuff. It's a much quieter experience, not only because there's not as many people, but it's just the woods are quieter when it's snowy. Mm-hmm. And you can just do it with a normal hiking boot or with your snow boots, as long as they're comfortable. Kind of all the same areas. So the Carlton Arb, St. Olaf Natural Lands, Bigwood State Park. You can also just walk around town, walk in the neighborhoods, see people's yards in the wintertime. I do usually recommend, if you're going to go winter hiking, consider getting a pair of yak tracks, which are some things that you would attach to your boot. It's just like you pull them onto your boot, that give you a little bit of grip. So they have some metal pieces that are kind of built into the thing that you're attaching to your boot, so that you're less likely to slip and fall.
You do not want to wear these on.
Don't wear them on your hardwood floors in your house.
It will wreck things like you would believe.
But they are really good for out and about. And actually, I strongly, as a medical professional, I strongly recommend people that get out and...
I feel like we should have like disclaimer, and you should say this really fast.
If you are going to get out and walk your dog in the wintertime, you should have a pair of yak tracks, because it will make you less likely to fall.
I wish I had known that 10 days ago.
Yep. So go online and buy some. They're amazing. And Yak Trax is the brand. There's a whole bunch of other brands, but the same idea of you have these kind of things to help keep you safe when you're out walking. So
and just around town, I mean, if we go up to the Twin Cities, walk around some of the wonderful Great Lakes that we have up there.
Yeah.
They're not the great, great lakes. Fantastic lakes.
Yeah. Yes, and a lot of those same trails are open in the wintertime.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. So that's winter hiking. Our next one is And cross-country skiing.
Cross-country skiing, which is kind of like, yeah, how do I make snowshoeing and hiking into something a little bit more interesting?
Faster.
A little faster.
A little faster.
Cross-country skiing, very Nordic. Mm. And from what I understand, being born here in Minnesota, we are very Nordic in our ideas anyway. Wonderful way to get out there. It does require a little bit more planning as far as where am I going.
And special equipment.
Yep. But most of the time you can actually rent the equipment. So you can rent the equipment, you know, with snowshoes from state parks and from local sports shops. You can also rent cross-country skis as well.
So I know for our local area, Big Woods does not rent cross-country skis, but Farmstead does. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do cross-country skiing in Northfield, Farmstead Bike Shop is another great opportunity for rentals.
Absolutely.
Right. Great opportunity. I'm not going to talk too much about this one because it's not something you just necessarily jump into. It's like, hey, family, what do you want to do on Sunday? You say on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that.
Take some
it's a workout.
Yeah.
It is a workout.
I've never cross-country skied.
Yeah, it's a workout. Requires a totally different level of balance. That said, if you try it, there are websites available for your state, probably not Texas, that will tell you all the places that you can go. And it's a wonderful way. Just go out to your local parks.
Yeah.
Just put your skis on and just have a good time on it. And as snowshoeing, as you mentioned, works a very different kind of muscle. But it's also a lot of lifting up your foot, putting it down.
Yep.
With cross-country skis, you just lightly glide it over. You're just shifting your weight just a little bit. So
it's a lot of core,
quickly.
I feel like.
Yeah, it's a lot of core.
Fantastic. Have you ever cross-country skied?
Not since I was a teenager. Uh-huh. But
did you love it then?
No.
Well, maybe you could try it out in a different way.
I'll be honest with you guys. It takes a lot for me to get really worked up about any sort of wintertime
activities.
We're
trying to give you options. I know.
I can't wait to talk to Tom, though, because the one thing I am sort of interested in doing is ice fishing.
Well, there you go. That's
funny because I actually mentioned that. bird watching. Now, this is not my thing, but I understand a lot of people really enjoy it.
Like it.
There was a fantastic, actually, on Minnesota Public Radio several months ago, did this wonderful little story about folks getting out and doing bird watching around and then being able to collect all the information and sending it in.
Oh, I heard that. It was a good one.
But bird watching is a all year type of activity. Great way to just go out and, again, have a nice little hike on it. And you can get bird watching kits.
Yep.
From every state park.
Yeah. Every state park in the state will have bird watching kits for rental.
Right. And they'll give you a little checklist and they'll give you binoculars and they'll give you a bird book. It's just a great way to go out there and see what you can see. Now, I know there are folks who get really, really excited about this kind of thing.
Yep.
Me, I just like a good songbird. You know, that's no for me. But it's great going out there and, you know, seeing all the different birds and counting them up. That's something you can do in the wintertime.
All right.
Downhill skiing.
And you get to talk about this one because I actually owned my own skis when I was in high school.
Yeah, me too.
Downhill skied a bunch. And in my dotage here, I have decided that I'm going to enjoy the après of après ski, but skip the ski.
That was always my favorite part, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, Si, you get to take this one because this is you and the boys love this.
I feel like we're totally dominating the conversation here with Rich.
Sorry, Rich.
No, we want to keep this positive, so I have absolutely nothing to contribute.
Ideas.
You are.
Look at all these things.
I used to love downhill skiing. I haven't been since I was in college, and for whatever reason. But I part of it too, I think, is the snowboard thing took over, and I've never snowboarded, and now I'm afraid of snowboards. So I'm just going to stay inside.
You're afraid, like, is in you'll be walking down the street sometime, and you'll jump out and say, "Hey, give me your wallet."
Exactly.
Holy cow. Now that's an extreme sport there.
There you go.
Downhill skiing is something that you wouldn't necessarily consider something that would be possible here. We don't have mountains. Last time I checked.
Yeah, we have.
But we have beautiful, beautiful bluffs, and we do have elevation changes. And yes, all you need is an elevation change in order to do downhill skiing. There's so many places. Welch. I love Welch.
That's where you and the boys usually go.
Boys and I go there a lot. That's a lot of fun. Buck Hill, which is very funny because it's the largest point in the southern metro. And there it is.
Yeah.
They took the time. It's like, what do we do with this big hill? Well, let's make ski runs out of it. Sure, why not? Afton, I've never got a chance, but I want to do that. That's over by the river.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Mountain, Taylor Falls. Thanks for mentioning that one. Elm Creek, Winter Recreation. I can go on and on and on. One of my big favorites, though, of course, is Lutzen.
Yep. So if we're getting more, again, kind of outstate.
That's...
Duluth has Spirit Mountain and Chester Bowl. Those are actually in Duluth area. But then Lutzen is probably one of the best in Minnesota.
I would think so. Yeah.
All of them have ski rentals and snowboard rentals. And then, of course, here in Northfield, we also have the Board Shop. I don't know if they rent snowboards, but I know that that's a great place to go talk to people about stuff. They do skateboards in the summer, but they do have some stuff for
snowboards. That's why I haven't been in there, because they have scary snowboards.
Oh, because you're afraid of this. I mean, absolutely, Rich. You gotta be careful. Be careful.
I know. We should talk about this offline. Get a little more detail. Do try downhill skiing. While I will squint a bit when people say I've never tried cross-country skiing, I think I'm going to do it. Downhill is weirdly, I think, a little bit more accessible because they do have everything's groomed for you as far as trail goes.
Yep.
They have colors to help understand where you are skill wise, including something referred to as the bunny hill.
Yep. Super
which is
easy.
Which is a great way to learn. And it's one of these activities that once you get into it, it's something you can do for your entire life up to a certain point.
So
right?
my parents are both, well, my dad will be 70 later this month, and my mom is 70 already. Mm-hmm. And they went, my dad goes and skis with my sister out, and they live out in Colorado.
Oh, sure.
Regularly. Like, they go out several times a year. They own their own stuff, and they still can do it.
Just keep your weight on your uphill ski. That's the one thing I remember
there
about.
You go.
See, you're halfway there. All right, just a few here honorable mentions that we want to talk about. Sledding.
Yes, so lots of great places to go sledding in Northfield. Some of the biggest ones are the Spring Creek Hill, which is over by Spring Creek Elementary School. St. Olaf behind Old Main has a good sledding hill. And Carlton Soccer Fields have some elevation change into it to be able to sled there. Spring Creek, if you don't own your own sled, Spring Creek has a little free sled library.
They do. Yeah,
so if you've heard of little free libraries for books, there are little free sled libraries as well, where they have some sleds available to you there. So another, like, you need very little equipment or planning to go sledding. You just get your stuff on, go get your sled and go.
Yeah.
It's super fun. As a mom, I get a little squinty about sledding because I look at this and I'm like, it's so dangerous. Everybody's going really fast. Nobody's watching where they're going. Nobody's got a helmet on. Like, there's ice patches.
But you know where the danger is. It's always uphill.
Yes, it's true.
It's not like it's going to come sneak around you.
But it is something that you can continue to do your entire life, and it's fun and it's fast and kids love it. So it's a great one to do with your kids.
Spring Creek is a little bit safer than like Old Main.
Okay. Good to know. I've only ever sledded at Spring Creek.
I've done them both. I live over by Spring Creek now. I used to live very close to St. Olaf, and of course I went to school there too. So, but like, there are trees and stuff that if you're not paying attention, you don't want to hit a tree sliding down Old Main.
No.
And then, if you want to do something that's a little safer than sledding, but still just as cool or maybe cooler, consider snow tubing. So snow tubing, it's often at some of the locations where you can downhill ski. And it's kind of a safer, more controlled version of sledding on a bigger hill with less hiking back up the hill, which I don't like about sledding.
And that's the big sell for me when it comes to snow tubing, is that you get all the fun of going down a hill. Buck Hill. It's a really great one.
And they provide you with these big inflatable tubes. So it's faster and like more comfortable, and you go faster. And so they give you a tube, you sled down, and then usually there's either a rope that you hold on to get back up or like a little magic carpet that takes you back up.
Which Buckhill has, which is fantastic.
I know.
Very little effort.
So, and there's lots of places, Buckhill, but Wild Mountain, Elm Creek, Winter Recreation Area all have tubing. And you can just check out all their websites, and really fun thing to do, and fun thing to do with kids too. Some of these locations will have two-person tubes to rent, so that you and your little can be in the same tube together safely, and it's another fun way to get out in the wintertime. Right.
So just two more honorable mentions. The first one being snowmobiling, because why not?
Yeah,
I know that's really big for a lot of folks.
We're not fans.
not a fan. I got,
but some people are.
Yeah, I got on one, and the individual who was driving said, "Hey, let's see how fast this thing can go." And I saw my entire life flash away, but I was only 12, so it didn't take long. But that was enough for me. Like, I'm good. I don't need to do this anymore. And of course, ice fishing, which to me, I still love. I think ice fishing is a fantastic way for you to go ahead and get away from the family, lock yourself in a little place for a bit, drink some questionable beer.
Well, whatever.
Maybe catch a fish.
Yeah, maybe. So, there's so many people that go lock themselves in their fish house and don't even fish.
Yeah, well.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
Every time I hear about ice fishing, I can't help but think of grumpy old men.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no, that's exactly
right.
Exactly
what I would love to have Jack Lemmon's ice house with a little record player.
Right, I know.
That was wonderful. Yeah.
I wouldn't fish. I would just go sit out there and listen to records.
Fishing in an easy chair.
It's fantastic. I know.
It's
amazing. Yeah.
It was fantastic. Like, so. Yep, and we'll see Tom's.
Yeah.
Equivalent of that one here, hopefully here, coming up.
I love that you're actually pointing to it, too.
He's out there. He's out there. But before we get to Tom, before we get to mailbag, which is actually our next thing, we need to take a pause to talk to Jessica from Contact.
Yes, we'll go talk to Jessica Peterson-White right now.
Mailbag time. All right. So I get up. I have this other little side project here called Father Geek, where I interview. Good grief! It's like the first
review.
Time I'm talking
you
about
review.
It. I review board games, and I have a lot of friends. Not only have that hobby, but also in the industry itself. And some time ago, I started Father Geek in 2010. Can you believe
that? Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
wow.
A long time ago.
I think you had hair back then.
Well, slightly more. I don't slightly more hair.
What are you talking about? He's got plenty of hair.
Yeah, it's
wrapped,
on
wrapped
his beard.
Around his chin.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Manly beard that took me 8 months to grow. we'll talk about that later. So the mailbag, it's an email address out there. People send me questions about games and other things. So I answer them the best I can. By no means an expert, but like I said, I'm not an expert, but I always have an opinion.
Always.
And I look at the ones that we get since the last time that we recorded, and I set some aside to hear what other folks want to say here at the table of geeks, our brain trust, as it is. And here we go. So it says, "Dear Father Geek and Gang, I love to paint little miniatures and build out terrain for my games. It has been a hobby since I was 12, and now I'm in my late 30s. I'm still painting, although my eyesight is certainly not as it once was." Oh, yes, I get that. Where are we at with your glasses situation here?
Oh yeah, I have I have an eye appointment in 2 weeks.
Perfect. I look forward to it. You look very cute in glasses. I'm looking forward to that. My two children, ages 10 and 8, are also interested, but as you can guess, it is not a hobby I can easily share. I have a special paint, special brushes, and a special place my good wife allowed me, he said in quotes, to have in the basement. Help, I love my kids and I love my hobby. How can I bring these two together without spilling, breaking, bending, or getting booed at? Yours in Cincinnati, Mr. Teddy McCoy. Now, are you two at all familiar with miniature painting?
I am familiar because you have some.
You married a geek. Of course you know this.
I am familiar.
In the general sense, they're miniatures and they require paint.
I was a big, before Kevin Spacey got in trouble, I was a big fan of House of Cards.
And he would,
that was part of his thing.
You can still be a fan of the show.
Yeah. Well, you know... Whatever. He would paint the little colonial soldiers.
Yes.
Whatever.
So same concept here. Mm-hmm. Miniatures from all the different type of genre. And this one in particular, he was talking about the tabletop miniature hobby.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where they come in lots of different ways. Fantasy, science fiction, horror, miniatures from a historical perspective. I have individuals who paint, friends of mine who paint miniatures professionally and take them on road shows.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's
that's their job.
Wow. There's a lot of money that they got because they
actually
have sponsors.
I gotta rethink my career.
they have sponsors.
You got a good job.
I do.
Yeah, they have sponsors from official paint suppliers.
Wow.
And miniature makers.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's
that's
quite
amazing.
Yeah. And there's quite a big purse of money to be earned on this thing. So it's a fun little side hobby that somehow people have made into a career. That's fantastic. I would say that if you're not familiar with, because I'll go into detail about what this gentleman can actually do from his perspective, but how about just sharing a hobby in general? Now, we talked about this a little bit with comic books mm-hmm. some time ago, mm-hmm. but what else do you have to, you think, a great way?
So you're like, how to share hobbies with your kids general?
Well, Ted here wants to not only share, but get them interested in and start mm-hmm. working on it. So what ideas do you have? We'll start with the young lady in the room.
finding having your kids have their own version of what you're doing. So mm-hmm. they're clearly not going to be on the same level of you in terms of detail, in terms of the little tiny brushes and all that other stuff, but getting them their own version. And in this sort of situation, there's lots of stuff out there for like there's painting kits for kids. You just can get them and then right. they can do it right next to you. And that sounds really interesting.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
You know, what I have found is that my kids responded to anything that I really spoke passionately about, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a great lover of history, for example, right? And I can remember very specifically a conversation I had with my younger daughter about how cool it was that at this moment in 1776, there were all these guys. It was James Madison and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. They were all like in the same neighborhood, right? Yeah. And they were there at that moment. It's so cool. And like, I could see the gears turning in the kid. Mm-hmm. It's had, I did. I think you both know I'm a massive music fan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
And I would talk with my kids about, oh my God, the Beatles and like how mm-hmm. they made Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band or Bruce Springsteen or whoever, Joni Mitchell. Right. And I think there's some, you know, you keep in mind, there's some DNA.
Oh yeah.
That
oh,
you
yeah.
can connect with.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so they'll respond to that if you just like, if you show them how excited you are about this stuff.
It's
so cool.
It is.
Yeah. We see that with the girls in reading because yep. I'm a humongous reader yep. and so are both of my daughters. Like the three of us. And a lot of it is just because this is what we do around the house. This is what we do. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's some of that DNA stuff, but I just get so excited about yeah. books and reading and they pick up on that.
Right.
Fun side note. So, yes, we do know that you love music a great deal. Said. Most of the time people will buy like an extra tub or, you know, buy a shelf to display and then put their hobby out there. You bought a whole radio station.
I did.
So you win. You win. Wasn't a competition, but if it was...
And
there
I still haven't done much about the music yet. I mean, that's the funny thing about it.
But yeah. you have a conduit for it.
Yes, I do. Yes,
and that
I
works
do.
Out great. So these are all great suggestions. I have something a little bit more grounded in what Ted would really like to do. So it actually touches on both of what you've already said here. So well done. First, focus on the basics, mm-hmm. right? The do's and don'ts with paint, in this case. You add children to paint, and most of the time you will end up with...
painted kids.
And a very angry wife is what you'll end up with.
The do's and don'ts with brushes. And here's the fun part about this hobby, is that the brushes can be exceedingly small. Very, very delicate. Because the individuals who will paint professionally or are very, very enthusiastic about that hobby is that they will do research in trying to determine, especially from a historical standpoint, what were the button colors?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
On the uniforms of these soldiers. You know, what was the exact sort of colors for plumage, if there was anything like that? So you can get brushes that, you know, from all over the place, very, very wide. So you can do a big wash. That's a type of technique. Or one that's just a single hair just to go in there. Yeah. So you definitely want to make sure that they understand how to use the brushes right, how to clean them. Because if you don't, you ruin them, and those things are not cheap. Mm. And then the do's and don'ts of taking the hobby too seriously or too early. One of the great things about starting out with any kind of hobby is that you should approach it from a sense of excitement and interest and just being really curious about it, mm-hmm. right? Don't think of it, oh, I need to make this into something that's going to be spectacular right off the mm-hmm. bat. You're not going to do that. Definitely don't do that with kids. And then, of course, get them started. You know, get them their own brushes, like you said. Get their own paints. Have their own things. There's something great about having your own, mm-hmm. right? There's mm-hmm. a great deal of self empowerment. And then you feel like you're like the big kid sitting at the table, right. Like, oh, I get to do it just for daddy. You know, have them pick a single miniature. If you go to hobby stores or go on to the interwebs, you can find miniatures for anything and everything. Have them pick out something that's really interesting to them. So then not only are they painting something that they want to get into, but they're already imagining how much fun they're going to have with their little miniature once they're done with it. And then just start painting and make it something that they just feel like they're making it better no matter what they do. Mm-hmm. Even though they may just be adding a little bit of color to the person's hair. Like, good, you're done. Mm-hmm. You're fantastic. Mm-hmm. You're done when you're done with those. Move on to the next one if you like. And then, of course, do it together. You know, make the memories. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the girls when they read. You guys all snuggle up right there. Yep. It's fantastic. You know, share techniques. There's a opportunity always as a parent to be the teacher, but don't forget that you can also be the student.
Yeah.
You know, listen to what they're saying. I'm sure they'll have some great ideas. And then also take them to events. Like I said, there are professional painters out there. Any kind of conventions. If you go to my favorite store up in the Twin Cities is The Source Comics and Games. They have professionally painted miniatures that you can just go see. Mm. They have behind glass, which is fantastic.
They ever do an event where they, you know, the painter is going to come and paint live here.
At, yes. Yeah. And it's like they stream it.
Yeah.
it's very exciting for those who are watching it. No, that's not me. Well, we hope that helped there, Ted. You know, you can't go wrong. If you go about any way of sharing your hobby, something that you're geeky about and interested with those that you love, you're good to go.
And what I have found with our kids is that if it is something that I am truly passionate about, I am a lot more excited, engaged,
right.
patient.
Right.
So as an example, our older daughter, Maggie, really wants to learn how to sew. Well, I don't know how to sew. Mm. And so she wanted to make a skirt and we got all the stuff for it. And I ended up doing a lot of it. And I was very frustrated because I wasn't passionate about it. Mm. Now she's like, you know, Mom, I want to learn how to bake. And I'm like, yes, I would love to teach you how to bake and cook and let's go get stuff because I know how to do that.
Right.
And I'm really excited about it. And I'm way more patient and relaxed if it's something that I'm truly passionate about.
Yeah.
So
exactly
try
right.
to encourage your kids to be in. I mean, they should. They got to find their own way.
Absolutely.
And I love that Maggie wants to learn how to sew, but I am not the person to teach her. So I got to sign her up for some classes.
I want her to sew me cloaks or something I wear at a Renaissance Festival.
I know. She wants to sew one for you.
I'm going to wear a dress.
So
I wear a kilt. That's not a dress.
That's not a dress.
That's not a dress. No.
But yeah, so great.
Yeah, it's more of a skirt.
It's
great. Great.
We'll talk about that later.
I got nothing against kilts.
All right.
I'd wear a kilt.
So manly. All right. So very exciting. Time to bring in Tom.
Sweet.
So let's go ahead.
Sigh.
And what?
We're at time. We have to be done. The show is we're just about to our point where we need to be done. It's only an hour show. Sorry.
Oh.
We can't have Tom on again, but we'll bring him back next month.
Guys, this is the fourth time.
I know. He's a very patient man, though.
Okay.
How about the three of us? We'll go out and see it after.
Right,
sorry,
we'll go
everybody.
Out, take some pictures.
I mean, we talked about it. Right? I mean,
it's
on the show.
We just don't get to talk to Tom.
It's not like people were going to be able to see the ice.
That's true. Right? Well, we will make it up to Tom. We will have him on next month. I'm sure he will have something else to talk
about. Probably
not
the ice house because, again, we'll be in the next month. It'll be warmer. Okay. All right. Okay. Moving on. We adjust. The side quest for everyone. Yeah. This is the last piece that we always want to send you guys off with.
And this one I'm particularly going to... Everybody is invited to the side quest, but I'm particularly inviting this one to Rich.
Okay.
So the side quest is try a new winter activity. Get off your butt, man. Get out there.
Can I wait until next winter when my knee is
feeling
better?
Yes, you can.
The snowshoeing thing is going to happen.
Yeah,
should. Yeah, absolutely.
It's
although
fun.
I'm so afraid with snowshoes that I'm going to like step on one shoe while I'm wearing the other.
So
you duck walk it.
That is a concern. You walk really wide and you have poles.
Yeah.
So if you step funny, then you have poles to balance yourself.
My wife snowshoes and it's only a matter of time now. So
So that's our side quest.
I love that.
For everybody, get out there and try a new winter activity. It's a little funny, like I said. It's going to be 60 degrees this weekend, but maybe we'll get another. I mean, it is not unusual to have more winter come in late March and April.
It's
so
March,
you can
man,
still get man. Out and enjoy that. Or you can still get out and enjoy ice skating at some of the indoor ice rinks. So there's
and
still
bring
stuff
along
to do.
Or drag kicking and screaming someone to come with you because
share it. That's the best time.
Misery loves company sometimes, but well, anyway, I'm not really selling the side quest.
No, you're not. What are you doing, dude?
Go out there, have some fun, enjoy the space that we have available to us. Yeah. So much to do. All right. I think that's good enough for a show. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think we're good.
All
what are we talking about next month, Si?
Next month, we are talking about The theater.
Theater.
Oh,
theater.
Hey.
Yeah.
Lesbians. Yeah. Theater.
Yes.
Theater.
Cyrus and I both have been in many plays.
Many a play.
In case you didn't figure that out, we love being on a stage.
I'll tell you exactly why I stopped acting in college.
All right.
I've got reasons for this, but I still love the theater.
And we're going to talk about both how to access theater in terms of being in plays, and we're also going to talk about opportunities to see a play. And all from uber local all the way up. So we have lots to talk about next month. I'm super excited about
it. So prepare yourself. We will speak of theater and how to reach your inner thespian.
Thespian. But that's it for Geeking Out. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much. Again, this has been Cyrus.
I am Mandy.
I'm Rich.
Geek out, everyone. We'll see you next time.